Jay Mariotti here, and I'm surprised this doesn't happen more often in sports. You know, some ding-a-ling exposing a dong in a locker room. It's beyond me why anybody would think an Instagram live stream is a good idea as players are disrobing post-game, yet Tariq Cohen went ahead and fired up his phone for all the world to see, and Club Dub, what the Bears call their celebrations after victories, became Chippendales with offensive lineman Kyle Long, unaware of Cohen's unintentional porn flick, shown stripping down with a 10-second full frontal flashing. The NFL prohibits players from posting content on social media from 90 minutes before kickoff through the end of post-game interviews, call it the Antonio Brown rule, circa 2017, yet that message apparently was not delivered forcefully enough by Bears head coach Matt Nagy. To Long's credit, he made fun of himself, a wise media move. Remember, his dad is Howie Long, the Fox Sports analyst. Can you imagine if this was Mike Ditka dealing with Instagram Live in the locker room? Sports teams have rules limiting access for TV cameras, but now they're being sabotaged by their own players who don't realize technology must be handled with discretion. If I ran a franchise, I would ban phones during all team activities. You know what? Maybe I should run a franchise.
Welcome to Unmuted with Jay Mariotti, the podcast devoted to making sports talk great again. Few have made more impact in sports media than Jay, and certainly no one has been called more names. Some actually true. He's the fiercely independent lightning rod who has produced massive ratings for ESPN's Around the Horn, made powerful waves as a national and major market talk host, and ruled Chicago as a columnist for 17 years. Unmuted is a topical whirlwind that doesn't stop until all the news is analyzed. So here he is, back from his day job in Hollywood. For the next half hour or so. Or maybe 40 minutes, depending on the Lakers, Raiders, Trump, and Odell Beckham Jr.'s latest mood swing. The one, the only, Jay Mariotti.
This has not been the triumphant start the NFL wanted amid its centennial celebration. We have suffered through the Antonio Brown fiasco, the consumer fraud tanking of the Miami Dolphins, the surprise Andrew Luck retirement, and a slew of crippling injuries to marquee name quarterbacks. And for all the 3-0 teams out there, there are just as many 0-3 teams, which creates a competitiveness problem. But the ratings have held steady nonetheless. They always do. And thank you, Roger Goodell says, to the gamblers and the fantasy players out there. And NFL buzz, you can't deny it. It's still much louder than that for college football and the impending baseball playoffs. And the owners are responding, as expected, with a proposal to expand the regular season. They are still trying to 17 games while eliminating the preseason altogether, which, of course, the union would not agree to without a significant spike in the players' percentage of revenue, which the league will not agree to in the ongoing collective bargaining. So this is just sort of a trial balloon. You know my feelings about this. Yes, get rid of the preseason altogether. What is the point? But there are too many safety issues amid the concussion crisis in football, the NFL, college football, to expand to 17 games. I don't think this is necessary, but this is the NFL trying to squeeze. Of course, this league, despite the fatalists who said the sport is dying, still has a hold on Americana. And Goodell also can thank Patrick Mahomes' parents and the host of new conversation pieces, such as Daniel Jones. But I have to admit it, this week I feel sorry for Jones. He cannot possibly live up to the New York mania that has followed his rousing 18-point comeback win in his starting debut, which included a massive spike in Jones' jersey sales and a tabloid front page that gave Jones the Obama hope treatment, a variation of Shepard Fairey's iconic poster. Now, without star running back Saquon Barkley, who was out until at least November and plagued by a bad defense, I'm afraid Jones faces the likes of the Patriots, Vikings, and Cowboys in coming weeks, meaning even if the Giants beat the 0-3 Redskins at home on Sunday, Jones is in for some stumbles against mean defenses. And then those tabloid Obama hope pages will be dope, right? You know what's coming. A picture of Jones with the Obama background, and it'll say dope on the front. So I'm just preparing Daniel for what's going to happen. Sports fans are way too impulsive, especially in psycho places like New York. Soon enough, they will be booing him. Fortunately, and you've seen the interviews by now, Daniel is a bright, mature rookie armed with perspective to get him through the madness, including a nickname that is trending on social media, Danny Dimes. Danny Dimes. Street lingo strikes again, and that is not a street dude, okay? Danny Dimes, what is that? Come up with something better. Hey, I'm cool. I'm calling him Danny Dimes. You know, don't do that. Get out life out there. Anybody on social media trying to make a name for themselves on social media, you are not. If you're an influencer, you're an influencer for about a day and a half or a week or so, and then you end up in jail or something, okay? In the locker room, Jones is just known as DJ, which is fine with me.
Has life changed for you? I mean, do you feel like a celebrity or anything like that?
Not really. No, it's the same thing. I go home and I come into work every day, but no, I don't feel like it's changed a whole lot.
But are you aware of how much, I mean, you're leading every sports show, is your phone blowing up more? Knowing it's not going to change you at all, are you aware how big you've become outside?
Yeah, I mean, I think you're aware to some extent, and certainly, you know, to family and friends, they'll keep you aware and communicating with them. But, you know, like you said, I'm trying to focus on this week, focus on what we're doing here and making sure that I'm preparing myself to play as well as I can.
Jones also has the athleticism to make plays on the run while ad-libbing, which is why he's playing, and the mannequin like Eli Manning is ending his career on the bench. And to think just about a month ago, Baker Mayfield was mocking the Giants for taking Jones number 6 in the first round. Now, who's the better quarterback? I can tell you this, Jones is the cool head ready for this challenge. While Mayfield looks frantic, overhyped, and out of sorts with these same old Browns, with ESPN analyst Rex Ryan, the twice-fired NFL coach, saying Mayfield is, quote, overrated as hell, unquote. I never thought hell was overrated, by the way. Where did that come from? This prompted Mayfield, immature as ever, to fire back and make Jones look even more like the adult here.
Whatever. I mean, in the wise words of Freddie Kitchens, if you don't wear orange and brown, you don't matter. And Rex Ryan doesn't have any colors right now for a reason, so it's okay.
Jones will have enough in the Meadowlands on Sunday to get past the Redskins, who are making owner Daniel Snyder look even worse than usual, seeing how that franchise misspelled London Fletcher's name on the scoreboard as he was being honored at halftime. As for Dwayne Haskins, the rookie quarterback, and another Jones detractor, remember draft night? He should be playing right now instead of watching the blubbering Case Keenum. Giants 19, Redskins 16. The barbaric realities of football cast a pall on a thrilling game at Lambeau Field, with Green Bay's Jamal Williams hospitalized early, and then Philadelphia's Avante Maddox carted off the field with 106 left as all of his teammates gathered beside him. But Maddox's replacement, Craig James, comes in off the bench, helps force an immediate Aaron Rodgers interception, and the Eagles save their season. Yeah, I'll say that. With an impressive big biceps victory, finally realizing they must protect Carson Wentz to even think about returning to a Super Bowl. Wentz returned to MVP-type form as the Eagles' offense awakened without DeSean Jackson. Yet this game was marred by yet another officiating screw-up regarding pass interference. Clearly, Maddox deserved an earlier penalty with a shot to the chin. This came in the third quarter, but the officials did not flag him somehow. And then, stunningly, after the NFL made pass interference plays reviewable in the offseason, Replay officials upheld the ruling after Green Bay coach Matt LaFleur threw a challenge flag. What is the point of trying to clean up the system when these idiots cannot see what millions of people can see at home? The Eagles' offensive line opened gaping holes for the running backs Jordan Howard and Miles Sanders as Philly overcame a big early deficit and exposed the Packers' defense. And the Packers cannot run the football, which left Rodgers frustrated when he couldn't convert two late drives into scores and then lost his top receiver, Davante Adams, who was having a huge night, to a toe injury. Cowboys at Saints. This is the first real litmus test for Jerry Jones' Super Bowl dreams, now that Sean Payton has shown he can win in hostile territory, Seattle, without Drew Brees. And though I do hesitate a bit, I'm going to take the Cowboys in primetime as they will ride Ezekiel Elliott against a struggling New Orleans rushing defense. According to Jones, Zeke literally spanks himself like a horse to prepare himself for games. Sometimes Jerry tells us things I don't want to hear. It's TMI. Literally spanks himself on the butt. More importantly, in this case, the Dallas defense reminds Teddy Bridgewater that he is not Breeze, and the defense contains Alvin Kamara in the Superdome. Cowboys 26, Saints 23. Patriots at Bills. Buffalo's sturdy defense will present Tom Brady with his first challenge of the season at age 42, and those rowdy fans will come ready to kill in Buffalo. But please, Josh Allen against the strongest Patriots defense in years, and that's because Belichick is in on the meetings. Seriously, not that he never was out of the meetings, but now he's contributing to that game plan like he hasn't in years. And my question would be, where has he been all these years? Because some years, they haven't had good defenses. Against a New England team that has outscored opponents 140-10 in the first halves of their last eight games, please, the Bills have no chance. That said, did Antonio Brown leave some poison behind? Brady says his original comment about Brown when he reported to the Patriots that Tom was, quote, 1,000% in, unquote, on the problem child, which was relayed by owner Bob Kraft to NBC's Al Michaels. Well, that was supposed to be off the record, and Brady went on the record to say that.
Well, that was supposed to be a private conversation, but one thing I've certainly learned over, you know, 20 years of playing football is, you know, I can control what I can control, and I'm going to show up every day to do the best job I can do, to be a leader of the team, to embrace new teammates, to embrace the coaching, the challenges that we're all going to face. You know, it's a difficult year. We're all faced with, you know, different adversities, different teams at different times, and we've had our fair share, and we're going to do our very best to overcome whatever is presented in front of us the entire season.
Look, if the Patriots didn't buckle under all their other dramas through the years, they're not going to buckle under this. Patriots 27, Bills 10. Vikings at Bears. If Kirk Cousins were earning his fat contract, you would pick him over Mitchell Trubisky in this matchup of power defenses. But Khalil Mack will terrorize Cousins, as will the Chicago secondary, and give league rushing leader Dalvin Cook little room to run at Soldier Field. The maddening Trubisky will continue to show gradual improvement, and kicker Eddie Pinheiro won't have to play hero again. Still a troubling thought in a fatalistic football town. Bears 26, Vikings 16. Browns at Ravens. Lamar Jackson has lapped Mayfield in every conceivable way as a passer, runner, and leader. And it helps that he has John Harbaugh coaching him and not Freddie the Imposter Kitchens. Who is this man? Why is he coaching the Cleveland Browns in that hideous hoodie? The Browns do not have a head coach or an offensive line, and with Mayfield regressing and looking skittish as he tries to avoid sacks, it's only a matter of time before Mayfield and Odell Beckham Jr. start spouting off about the coaching. These are still the Browns, through and through, not worthy of the hype, and Lamar Jackson takes advantage of a battered Cleveland secondary with his arm and his feet. Ravens 33, Browns 16. Chiefs at Lions. It could be Patrick Mahomes already running away with the second straight MVP award. Is more comfortable indoors in Detroit than he is outdoors at home. With top cornerback Darius Slay out, the Lions have no chance against the Mahomes offensive. With Patrick on pace for 6,000-plus passing yards and 53 touchdown passes. And people said no way he could top what he did last year. He's going to top what he did last year, injury notwithstanding. Lions safety Quandre Diggs went so far to say Mahomes will break every passing record in NFL history. We think he's a little intimidated here. Not the kind of thing Matt Patricia wants his guys saying a few days before facing the great Mahomes. But he might be right. Chiefs 38, Lions 15. Raiders at Colts. John Gruden once again is impressing nobody in year two of his $100 million farce. Why again did he get rid of Khalil Mack and Amari Cooper? Please explain. And by foolishly banking on Antonio Brown, Gruden has no downfield passing game. Even though Darius Leonard and T.Y. Hilton are banged up, the Colts are at home with the better coach and, dare I say, the better quarterback in Jacoby Brissett. Colts 28, Raiders 17. Chargers at Dolphins. Melvin Gordon has ended his holdout, and unlike Le'Veon Bell last year, Gordon will risk injury when he returns to the lineup in a couple of weeks, but this will be his final season with the Chargers as he seeks a contract on the level of other top running backs, such as Elliott, Todd Gurley, Gurley's not a top running back anymore, David Johnson, and Bell. He might not be either. And I don't think Gordon is going to get it as the NFL continues to devalue running backs who aren't quite at the elite level, such as Gordon. Against anybody else but Miami, the Chargers might be in trouble with their banged-up secondary and soft offensive line, but the Dolphins are tanking like no other NFL team ever has tanked. And they're already planning a party at next April's draft in Vegas, which the Dolphins hope ends in the drafting of Tua Tagovailoa, which is absolutely pathetic. They have planned a draft party. The league should force owner Steve Ross to slash ticket and concession prices, but that won't happen because in sports, the owners never ever give back, do they? The uber-competitive Philip Rivers will take advantage of this tank show. Though, given that he's 37 years old, isn't he vulnerable to the injuries that have sidelined Breeze and Ben Roethlisberger? Chargers 33, Dolphins 13. Panthers at Texans amid the Mahomes machine and Daniel Jones blizzard. Deshaun Watson again is getting lost in the quarterbacking swirl. He continues to be a magician, dodging defenders and finally avoiding sacks to make amazing plays this season. And though the Texans' pass defense is vulnerable against Kyle Allen, did I just say that? Houston has more than enough to win at home. Texans 27, Panthers 20. Buccaneers at Rams. Tampa Bay remains hungover from the Daniel Jones experience, which doesn't happen if the Bucs kicker doesn't shank an easy game winner. Bruce Arians did not make a kicking change, not that it's going to matter as the Rams force Jameis Winston into mistakes and finally start moving offensively at home, even if Jared Goff is struggling with Gurley no longer carrying the offensive load. Goff was not ready to rule this offense here. He's struggling, but he's not going to this Sunday. Rams 34, Bucks 12. Seahawks at Cardinals. Kyler Murray would like to be Russell Wilson someday, but not yet. Kyler was sacked 8 times last week behind a yucky line. And you know, he's supposed to have escapability, and he's sacked 8 times? Seattle has pass defense issues, and Murray will have his moments Sunday, but come on, Wilson will methodically carve through that shorthanded Arizona defense as Murray and Cliff Kingsbury remain winless. I think they're about 4 losses away from people asking what the hell were the Cardinals thinking in hiring Cliff Kingsbury. Seahawks 27, Cardinals 22. Jaguars at Broncos. Until Jalen Ramsey's trade wishes are fulfilled by Jacksonville, and Kansas City looks like a prime spot. The Jaguars' season will be held hostage by their cover corner. At least Coach Doug Marrone has a sense of humor about the idea that Ramsey claims to have a back injury.
Seriously, I don't know. He reported that his back was sore. That's, usually when someone reports their back sore, it could have happened. It could happen again. I don't know. I really don't know.
I dare say Von Miller and Bradley Chubb finally get their first sacks of the season for the Broncos, and they also rip off Gardner Minshew's mustache. Broncos 18, Jags 15. Titans at Falcons. If Dan Quinn isn't careful, his penalty-happy team might get him fired in a pivotal season in Atlanta. Tennessee lets Derrick Henry carry the day, not Marcus Mariota, who suffers sacks because he can't get rid of the ball quickly enough. How long has he been in this league now? And once again, the Matt Ryan, Julio Jones hookups go to waste with a slew of offensive line injuries. Titans 24, Falcons 21. On to baseball, where major league owners are chuckling that Bryce Harper and Manny Machado will be sitting at home in October after the Phillies and the Padres spent, a collective $630 million on those two marquee free agents. Neither player was worth the money this season, which will embolden the owners as an almost certain labor impasse nears in baseball. And the Nationals, who allowed Harper to leave for Philadelphia and don't miss him right now, are hosting the National League wildcard game on Tuesday with Max Scherzer on the hill. How fitting that Harper and the Phillies were eliminated in Washington, where the crowd mocked Harper while wildly cheering their own Anthony Rendon, who leads the majors in RBIs and better not be allowed to leave in free agency by the Nats the way Bryce was. They got away with the Harper departure. Rendon is a big-time player. You can't lose him. But shame on the Nationals fans who trash-talked about the Harper's one-month-old son, which Bryce's wife, Kayla, tweeted about after her husband said the fans had crossed the line. Bryce also made an astounding comment about Philadelphia fans. I have never heard this before. Said Bryce, quote, "I've got 60,000 fans up in Philly that appreciate me as a player." First of all, what's he talking about? He doesn't play in the football stadium, and they don't have 60,000 fans at the Phillies games. Anyway, quoting Bryce, "who appreciate me as an individual and my family. I owe a lot to those people up there in Philly because they show up for me every single night, and they're there to cheer us on and boo us and keep us going as a team and as individuals as well," unquote Bryce Harper. Does Bryce not realize he's talking about Philadelphia sports fans who will abuse him mercilessly if he doesn't start producing like a superstar? However rude and crude as some of those Nats fans were, Bryce cannot allow them to get in his head, considering he could have, 12 more years of divisional battles at Nationals Park. 12! And you can add Mike Minor to the very long list of squirrely people in this world. The Texas Rangers ace was so bent on achieving a personal milestone, 200 strikeouts this season, that he actually yelled at first baseman Ronald Guzman to let a catchable foul ball drop with one out in the ninth inning. Unethical as that was, Minor didn't seem to care. He was one strikeout short of 200, and that drop improved his chances, and then sure enough, he got number 200 on the next pitch. But the way it went down stinks, as Red Sox manager Alex Cora said afterward. Even Rangers manager Chris Woodward, who was waved off by Minor as his pitch count soared over 120 pitches, said, and I'm quoting, "I didn't love the idea that we dropped the pop-up at the end," unquote. Minor now is better known for this selfish act than for his All-Star season in Texas. Tell me, dude, was it worth it? The Cubs are about to ziggy Joe Maddon, a cowardly way of scapegoating a manager who deserves much better treatment and didn't have nearly as much to do with their decline as Theo Epstein, the boss who is going to fire him. King Theo's ill-fated expensive acquisitions led owner Tom Ricketts to pull back on spending last offseason when the Cubs needed more pitching and more bats. But the manager always takes the fall, not the geeks upstairs. So Madden will be gone on Monday, and don't be surprised if Theo goes madman on us in the offseason, putting everybody on the trade block except Javi Baez, Wilson Contreras, and pitcher Kyle Hendricks. Speculation does persist that Theo might be leaving, returning to Boston, though he remains under contract with Ricketts through 2021 and might not want any part of the Red Sox ownership fiasco. Remember, those owners fired Dave Dombrowski a year after he won a World Series, and for that matter, John Henry and Tom Werner lost faith in Epstein after he merely broke the curse and directed the Red Sox to two World Series titles before joining the Cubs. Henry and Werner seem to think they can attract an elite name, Jeff Luhnow, Andrew Friedman, Chris Antonetti, even Billy Beane, remember Moneyball, but why would any of those people want to work for these guys? Because you might get fired after reaching the mountaintop. Henry and Werner might be surprised how unattractive their position is, even to the likes of Jed Hoyer and Jason McLeod, who work alongside Epstein at Wrigley after working with him at Fenway. Mark Loretta, the bench coach in Chicago, is emerging with Cubs 2016 hero David Ross as the two top candidates to replace Madden. And in Ross's case, it would not be wise to hire somebody with no managing experience to replace a potential Hall of Famer such as Madden. Joe will have a long line of suitors if he wants to manage him. Why wouldn't he? Still high-energy guy. Great vibe guy, Joe Madden. Hate to see this happen to him. His former longtime employers, the Angels, need a jolt. Mike Trout needs help getting to October, and I think they would fire Brad Ausmus after one season if Madden wants to come home to Anaheim. You need star power in this market, Southern California. And yes, they have Mike Trout, but they're wasting him. Joe Madden would be a great hire by the Angels, who are not doing much right. I would even consider Theo as the GM, but you're not going to put Theo and Joe in the same zip code anymore after that injustice. San Diego makes sense for Madden as well, with young studs Fernando Tatis Jr. and Chris Paddock. And to think some were saying the Cubs were mounting a dynasty threat 3 years ago? Never, ever put the word dynasty in the same breath as Cubdom, which this year is spelled C-U-B-D-U-M-B, not D-O-M. And I copyrighted that because I came up with that in Chicago. Here was pitcher John Lester, shell-shocked by it all.
You know, it's definitely a stinging feeling. Hasn't happened too often for me, so it's a weird feeling. But, I mean, we as a group, just flat out didn't get it done this last month. Other teams did. Other teams played better than us. And, it sucks. It sucks going forward.
And what does it say about the Cubs that the Milwaukee Brewers and their $128 million payroll, $90 million less than the Cubs, have squeezed into the postseason? Yes, the superpowers, Yankees, Dodgers, Astros, rank third, fourth, and sixth in spending this season, but the Red Sox, the biggest spenders, are out of the playoffs. And imagine if the Rays, with the lowest payroll in the majors at $63 million, travel to Oakland to play the amazing A's with their $93 million payroll in the American League wildcard game. By the way, ask the Astros if they want to play the A's in the ALDS. They don't. The baseball owners don't like Scott Boras, but he does make sense in this regard. What is the deal with these hard, slick bases? MLB does not pay any attention to detail, much less its major existential issues. So I'm happy that the super agent spoke out because two of his clients have been injured on those slick bases. The 2016 MVP Chris Bryant slipped on a wet base last week and sprained his right ankle. This 2 years after Bryce Harper, en route to a second MVP award, injured a knee while slipping on a wet base. Quote, how many MVPs have to go down end quote, Boris says. Baseball could do worse, don't laugh here, than have Scott Boris as the commissioner, but the world would have to end for that to ever happen. To college football, where the transfer portal has given the sport a free agency professional component and has impacted the current season at Ohio State, Oklahoma, Washington, and other programs. And might just impact who wins the Heisman Trophy with transfers Jalen Hurts and Justin Fields in the running. And now look at what's happening at Houston. This is professional football. After a 1-3 start, two of the team's top players, quarterback De'Aaron King and receiver Keith Corbin, are sitting out the remainder of the season so they can redshirt and return next season. This looks like college football's first foray into tanking, right? A slow weekend ahead precedes a wild season-long round robin in the SEC, which merely features four of the nation's top six teams right now, ad nauseum. Alabama, which loses Tagovailoa to the Dolphins in a few months, I hope that doesn't happen somehow, even landed his potential replacement, dual-threat quarterback Bryce Young, who flipped from USC to Nick Saban. Until the Trojans hire Urban Meyer, and the new school president, Carol Folt, will have to overlook Meyer's own issues as she cleans up a scandalous university. USC is going to keep losing recruits this way until they have a big name. Everybody thinks Clay Helton's going to be fired because he is going to be fired. Even though Carol Holt says she's not cleaning house, she will be forced to because there are major boosters here, and she came from North Carolina, and she's going to learn that in L.A. there's always somebody up here telling you what to do, and they're silent about it, but you're in the firing line, Carol Holt. So, yeah, you will be getting rid of your football coach, Clay Helton, just as you got rid of the AD, Lynn Swann. At least the Pac-12 is putting up respectable results for a change, though the league's biggest enemy is its own TV network, which chose to wait, rather foolishly, for a supposed digital bonanza in 5 years and not seek any help from ESPN or Fox, and has fallen way behind the other Power Five leagues in TV revenues, which hurts the brand and the resources. Why is Larry Scott still the Pac-12 commissioner, by the way? And Oklahoma State coach Mike Gundy is back with a rant 12 years later. He's 52 now, not 40. And it didn't stop him from laying into some media schlub who wondered on a Big 12 coaches teleconference if the late school booster Boone Pickens left Gundy money to cut off his trademark mullet.
Don't hurt the real journalism world. It's jackasses like you that cause problems, okay? They shouldn't even let you call in. Do you want to talk football? We'll talk football. If you want to be out there and talk idiotic social media, then you need to go do something with a college kid.
Okay, thank you.
You bet.
I'm with Gundy here. You know that. Too many buffoons in media these days. And for those who prefer to overdose on sports instead of fentanyl, October is your month, the only one on the calendar in which all four major sports leagues are in meaningful action. That's right, NBA training camps are opening. After the dizziest offseason in American professional sports history, but this is even more staggering. I can't believe this. LaMelo Ball, the youngest son of LaVar Ball, has improved so markedly while playing in Australia that he just might be a top three lottery pick next summer. And this means, and I'm going to reach for a vomit bag now, that Ballbuster LaVar might have the last laugh on all of us. No. It also means the teams expected to be picking high, Cleveland, Charlotte, Memphis, the Knicks, might have to intentionally pass on LaMelo, who has sprouted up to 6'7 as a point guard, to avoid the meddling influence of the insufferable LaVar. Buyer beware, Lonzo Ball, injury-prone and jump-shot challenged, has been a bust of sorts, as he begins anew in New Orleans. And middle son LiAngelo needed President Trump's intervention to avoid bigger trouble in China. Remember, he was caught shoplifting there during a brief stay at UCLA. When in doubt, don't rely on a ball. I don't care how good this kid is looking. I would not take him. Poor Terry Rozier. Would Michael Jordan? No. Michael Jordan is not going to deal with ball buster LeVar. I was thinking about Terry Rozier in the backcourt with this kid. No. Jordan wouldn't last a second with this guy. He would just slug him. If Michael Jordan slugged Steve Kerr in a practice, he would bury, I think, LeVar Ball into a North Carolina manhole and then cover it up, and then LeVar could never get out again. There's an idea, Mike! Don't draft him. And this is why players and NBA teams do not want to participate in basketball's World Cup. The Lakers are going to be without Kyle Kuzma indefinitely as he recovers from a stress reaction in his foot, an injury he suffered in summer workouts with Team USA. This does not bode well for a Lakers team that needs Kuzma to step up as the third option and perimeter shooter. Yeah, when Jerry Colangelo, the boss of USA Basketball, calls out these guys for committing and then decommitting, he's right. But then the teams are also right when they don't want these guys getting hurt and then hurting their chances in the regular season. The Lakers don't need this. They've got enough problems with the Clippers across the hall. And now this? Kyrie Irving already has suffered a facial fracture after he was elbowed in the face. I shouldn't laugh. During a Nets pickup session. And I know what you're thinking here. Kyrie already is alienating Brooklyn teammates, as he did in Boston. But Nets general manager Sean Marks insists that Irving's leadership, intensity, and commitment have been great so far. I'd say stay tuned there. The Nets do say they aren't expecting Kevin Durant to return this season, and if Durant is a smart man, he will resist the urge to come back prematurely in the postseason as he did in the finals. Here's Marks with that thick Kiwi accent, New Zealand, talking about Durant's injury rehab.
With Kevin, I think what we're going to say is the expectations are that he'll be out for the year. We're not going to plan on him playing. His rehab will obviously be predetermined by, you know, over the course of the next few months, how he goes with our performance team and so forth. But ultimately, Kevin will have a large say in, you know, when he comes back and how he's feeling. But the expectations now are for him to be out for the year. He's attacking this like no other. I've been excited to see, I think we all have, how he's approached this rehab, which has been great, very refreshing and energizing for the whole group. But at the end of the day, this is a long-term plan here. This was never about this next season. This is about getting an elite athlete back to elite physical shape on the court and whatever that takes.
Durant's former team, the Warriors, hosted media day in the new Chase Center, Gleaming Palace, right on the water there, San Francisco, where they are not thrilled, the players, that they must climb up a staircase from their Lux locker room to the arena floor. Who designed the arena this way? These guys need their energy. They're climbing up a stairway. The old Chicago Stadium, way back when, had a stairway that hockey players actually had to negotiate in their skates. And the Chicago Bulls did as well. They did win 3 championships in that building, the old barn. So, I don't know. We're in 2019. Why do you need a stairway in a $1.5 billion arena? Joe Lacob doesn't screw up on much. He screwed up on that. But while the Dubs no longer are considered prime championship contenders, and I say, shockingly, either the Jazz, Clippers, or Nuggets are going to win the West, while either the Bucks or the Sixers are going to win the East. That's right, no Lakers. I still say nobody wants to play Steph Curry, Draymond Green, and the lower-seeded Warriors in the postseason after Klay Thompson returns. I don't want to play them. They could get to the conference finals. I don't see them getting back to the finals. Klay, incidentally, says the Warriors would have won title number 4 had he not blown out his knee in Game 6. I beg to disagree. They did not have Durant. They would have lost Game 7 in Toronto. And Andre Iguodala is the object of a trading frenzy, with Memphis agreeing to let him skip the start of camp as the Grizzlies find the best deal. I would be betting on the Lakers. It's Lakers versus Clippers in this case, and I think he is a Laker. They need his leadership, his defense, his rings, even at 35. I don't think the Lakers are going to get a ring, but having Iguodala would help immensely with leadership in that locker room. I know it's LeBron's team. You know what? LeBron needs to settle down quite often, especially on social media. Iguodala's kind of got to walk right over to him and say, "Hey, pal, remember when I kicked your ass in the 2015 finals defensively? Put that phone away, LeBron." He'll do that, but he'll do it in a casual way. And the NBA is dead serious about tampering, fining the Milwaukee Bucks $50,000 for a no-brainer comment by general manager John Horst that they intend to offer league MVP Giannis Antetokounmpo a $253 million Supermax contract extension next summer. Duh! Wait a minute. You can tamper with your own player? This is going too far. The league says because it's a future contract, you can't talk publicly about your own players. What? That's not tampering. Then you're just talking about your player. Shouldn't Commissioner Adam Silver at least consider how the Bucks in a small market have to ensure season ticket holders that they're trying to retain an all-time elite talent and not save the money as some owners might? I love their owners in Milwaukee. It's not a bad idea to just say the obvious at a fan convention, as Horst was doing, but $50,000, slap on the wrist. And the NBA wants to shorten games. If only baseball felt that same way. And we'll use, did you read this? It's G League to try a game-changing rule experiment. All visits to the free throw line will include only one foul shot, which will be worth either 1, 2, or 3 points, depending on the nature of the foul. I love this! Over the course of a game, that could shave off just enough minutes to keep the average time to 2 hours, which NBA officials view as a perfect broadcast window. You see how players, before the second free throw, they're bouncing the ball, they take their time, LeBron's hamming it up. You see this all the time. Think about the number of dribbles, and you got to look at the ball, and then look at the rim and show off. Yeah, you're slicing off time. I wish Rob Manfred, a Mariotti aside, would do that about what happened to the pitch clock? What happened to the pitch clock? He has told us about a pitch clock for 5 years, and it's still not here, and we're about to enter a postseason where we're going to have games. Hell, last year we had a 7 hours? I can't even remember. I was half asleep in the World Series. Think about how many batters. Derek Jeter stepping out of the batter's box, removing the Velcro, putting the Velcro back, removing it, putting it back, then scratching his crotch, then pulling the pinstripes up, then, you know, just the helmet, and then he reaches the bat over it. I'm having nightmares about this. He's been retired for years. I still think about that. And pitchers don't even get me started. And yet Adam Silver is thinking about the free throw line. Adam, would you please run baseball in your off time? Thank you. Austin Matthews is one of the NHL's most important young stars, an American native who is the face of Canada's most visible team, the Toronto Maple Leafs. So it's troubling, to say the least, when Matthews is charged with disorderly conduct in his hometown of Scottsdale, Arizona, where he is accused of confronting a female security guard outside the condo building where he lives and, according to the guard, quote, pulled his pants down, bent over, and grabbed his butt cheeks, unquote. Though Matthews did keep on his underwear, the woman told police. This is not funny. The NHL tends to go easy on its stars, such as Washington's Evgeny Kuznetsov, who was tossed out of international competition for 4 years after a positive cocaine test, yet only received a 3-game suspension from Commissioner Gary Bettman. Hey, Adam Silver, could you run baseball and hockey in your spare time? Thank you. Now it's time for The Buzz, our deep dive into sports and life. Chris joins the program. And Chris, are you buying Daniel Jones, Danny Dimes, as a keeper and Baker Mayfield as a bust? Or, like me, do you think young quarterbacks inevitably will ebb and flow before settling into a consistent pattern of how their NFL careers will pan out?
I mean, Jay, can we just settle down? I mean, come on. I understand Daniel Jones is the clean-cut kid from Duke. He's playing for the New York Football Giants, and he's not a rebel. And Baker's got the headband and saying all kinds of crazy stuff. And Freddie Kitchens is his coach, and nobody likes Freddie Kitchens because why would you like Freddie Kitchens? And I get it, but let's just calm down, okay? We're three games into the season. I still think Baker Mayfield's talented. He doesn't have a great offensive line. He's got a crazy head coach. The Giants aren't that much better, but again, just take a deep breath.
And Chris, Joe Maddon is about to be ziggied in Chicago, meaning the manager who broke the unbreakable curse in 2016 is gone just 3 years later. How pathetic. Does this sadden you, sicken you, or perhaps leave you indifferent? Because if you're indifferent, you could never live in Chicago.
Baseball's a putrid sport. It really is. And this is another example of it. I don't know what happened exactly to the Cubs, why it all fell apart. It was just 3 years ago that we were all looking up to the Cubs. It's just baseball. I don't want to say it needs to go away, but it just needs an overhaul all the way.
And, Chris, nothing floors me in sports anymore, but this did. LaMelo Ball, now a 6'7 point guard, excelling in Australia, is in line to be a top three NBA lottery pick. This means the ball buster himself, LaVar Ball, is back in the saddle again. Chris, if you were the GM of a team picking high in the draft, would you take LaMelo or would you run for the hills to avoid dealing with ball buster LaVar?
Ugh. Usually I would say it doesn't matter. Nobody's going to care. I think that's what we said in the Lonzo days, because the talent will dictate and GMs will deal with it and nobody cares about the dad. But I almost have to feel that that's not to say. We've been shown now evidence that that's not true. And that LaVar is going to do whatever it takes for him to be a focal point of attention. And he needs it. He craves it. So I actually would think twice. No matter how great LaMelo might look, I don't know.
And Chris, anything you want to add about the Kyle Long Schlong story?
Here's all I'm going to say. If somebody was to do an Instagram video and I was to walk by naked, I would hope people would be as impressed as many people were seeing Kyle Long walk by naked. I guess that's all I can say.
Okay, thanks, Chris, which brings us to quickies, which are just that. Quick! Horse racing should be banned in California after the deaths of dozens of horses this year, including 30 at Santa Anita Park, along with the scandal revealing that 2018 Triple Crown winner Justify failed a drug test before the Kentucky Derby that year, a result the California regulators swept under the rug. But while Governor Gavin Newsom, and if I don't mention that name much on here, you'd better get used to the name because he's probably going to be president in 2024, says he's prepared to outlaw horse owners and breeders with direct financial stakes in the sport from serving on its regulatory board, the races are still going on nonetheless at Santa Anita with the fall season starting Friday. Here's a thought. Stop betting on this stuff, folks. Stop going to the tracks, and then horse racing, once so beautiful and proud, will be put out of its misery. Georgia Tech is the first of many sleazy college basketball programs to be slapped down by the NCAA, which placed the Yellow Jackets on 4 years probation with a 1 year postseason ban because of violations, including the $300 payment given by Jarrett Jack, the former NBA player, the former Georgia Tech star, to recruit Wendell Carter Jr., now with the Chicago Bulls, to visit an Atlanta strip club. Carter was merely 17 at the time. Jack, the scandals are so dirty, even the blue bloods aren't being protected anymore, yet let's see if the NCAA has the stones to cripple Kansas, one of its traditional cash cows. Troy Aikman officially has a Twitter problem. It happens to the best of us, but Aikman needs to get off Twitter before he stoops to the level of his trolls. He has heard from his Fox Sports bosses after trashing the debate show-filled sub-network Fox Sports One in rants about Skip Bayless and Doug Gottlieb, Now Aikman is responding to a Kansas City-based tweet that said, quote, Patrick Mahomes has thrown 36% of Troy Aikman's career touchdowns in about 8% of the games, unquote. Good analytics there. To which Troy responded, quote, talk to me when he has 33% of my Super Bowl titles, meaning when Mahomes wins his first Super Bowl. Touche, I guess, but come on, Troy, aren't you on a higher level than these dips out there on social media? That's what I decide. And you knew this was coming. As the immaculate Los Angeles Football Stadium prepares to open next summer, the Rams are pissed off at the Chargers, who have become already second-class citizens and moochers in this two-team NFL equation. The Rams, with their recent Super Bowl appearance and star-filled team, have attracted eyeballs in this sports-bloated marketplace and are on pace for personal seat license projections in the new stadium. But the Chargers lost down there in that remote soccer stadium in Carson, have a tiny presence in LA and should have stayed in San Diego. I can say that now. After originally promising $400 million from PSL sales, the Chargers have adjusted that projection to only $150 million. Gulp! That's $250 million less than Rams owner Stan Kroenke thought he would have to help fund the $5 billion palace that he's paying for, and that bill could be $10 billion before the entire private project is finished. LA has a similar pecking order in the NBA, but at least the Clippers and their billionaire owner, Steve Ballmer, have built massive credibility by bringing in big tickets Kawhi Leonard and Paul George and trying to build their own arena in Inglewood. The Chargers owner, Dean Spanos, has no LA cred. He's trying to cheapskate Melvin Gordon, and he might have a half-empty stadium come next season. Yet, his franchise is going to benefit from the Taj Mahal-like environment. Dean, take that team back to San Diego. Oh, wait, I forgot. San Diego would never have you back.
And now, a final Mariotti commentary too hot for ESPN, too smart for the internet, and too chill for political activism. Take it away, Jay.
When it comes to kicking a ball, I'm gender blind, and you should be too. So if U.S. soccer star Carly Lloyd can make the 34-yard field goal attempt that Matt Gay missed on Sunday, losing a final-second heartbreaker for Tampa Bay, then by all means, the Buccaneers should sign Lloyd to replace Gay as their place kicker. Nor do I have a problem with the secret deodorant people. I don't talk about secret often on the show. They took out an ad in the Tampa Bay Times poking fun at the team's kicking mess, writing, quote, hey, Bucks fans, do you sweat 34-yarders? Carly Lloyd doesn't. She represents secret deodorant. Secret believes strength is more than overcoming what makes us sweat. It's continuing to pursue progress and equality in all industries and sectors. Women may not play professional football, and then yet in parentheses, but isn't it time for a level playing field wherever she wants to play? Unquote. So Secret is urging the Bucks to sign Lloyd. Remember, she made a 55-yarder during a joint practice between the Eagles and the Ravens, and she did approve that ad, meaning she is available if Tampa Bay wants her. She thinks women belong in the place-kicking world, and guess what? Bucks coach Bruce Arians has hired women to be assistant coaches. This is not as crazy as you might think.
Yeah, I think, I think for certain spots, for sure. Obviously, as a kicker, I think that there's potential. I mean, obviously, there's no doubt that men are, bigger, stronger, faster. Mechanically, they're just, made differently than females. But I think if there is a female that possesses all those qualities and is good enough to be there, I think, yeah, sure, why not?
But I also have to say this, hear me out. In an equal world, criticism should be equal as well. So if Carly Lloyd misses a 34-yard field goal to lose a game, she should be subjected to the same blowback that Matt Gay has heard all week. All is fair in love, sports, and deodorant. That's our show. For our producer and editor, Chris, I am Jay, reminding you to never, ever let anybody mute you in life.